Thank you very much, Arnold, for that. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Okay, say to your neighbor around you, you look very good this today. Would you do that? Okay, all right. Yeah, fantastic. That's great. That's wonderful. Well, all right, I'm going to speak on the whole subject of, can we have the slides on? All right. Evangelism, Jesus' style, okay, which I think is very, very learning from Jesus, the master guru in evangelism, isn't it? So we'll read from John chapter 4, verses 4 to 14. I know Sister read very well. But normally what happens is I like to get everybody to read aloud the word of God together, okay, because we are making a public proclamation of God's word, established truth, God's word on earth as it is in heaven. But thirdly, faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God, isn't it? Apostle Paul writes to us, Romans 10, 17. Okay, so as always, shall we stand in honor of God's word? Let's read aloud in our strongest, robust FBC voices, okay, from the NIV, which is the never incorrect version of the Bible. All right, come, let's read together. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you have asked him and have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us a well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and to keep coming here to draw water." Our Father, we thank you for your word again. Take your word by your spirit and speak and challenge us, Father, we pray in response in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Would you take your seats? Well, once was a Japanese tourist who was visiting Kuala Lumpur. At the end of the trip, he decided to flag down a taxi to take him to the airport. And he flagged down a Malaysian taxi, a Proton Saga taxi, to take him to the airport. Hop into the taxi, told the driver, "Could you please take me to KL?" "Yeah, of course." Okay. All right. On the journey to the airport, what suddenly, zoom, okay, a car zipped by really very fast. And a Japanese man, very proud about everything Japan, shouted out, "Toyota, make it Japan." Very fast. Fantastic. As the taxi went on further, another car zipped by. He shouted out, "Okay, Honda, make in Japan." Very fast. Finally, when the taxi came around the airport, another car zipped by and he shouted, "Mitsubishi, make in Japan." Still very fast. By then, okay, the Malaysian driver a bit peeved, okay, like this. And finally, he said, "Okay, what's the fare?" All right, he said, "Let me check my meter." He looked at the meter and he said, "Okay, it's 300 ringgit. The Japanese, how can it be so expensive?" Well, the driver said, "My meter make in Japan also very fast." Now, we may be very Japan-centric or Malaysian-centric or whatever, friends, but most important of all, you and I who are Christians, we should be Jesus-centric. And all God's people say, as I said, we should be focused on Jesus, which is so important. That's what we're going to learn from. About the example of Jesus, he goes about, okay, sharing the good news, okay, the gospel of Jesus Christ himself. It's saying, now, what happens? There are flaws in the church today, unfortunately, all over the world. Okay, I preach in more than 40 countries in all six continents. What are the flaws? Firstly, friends, we find that we have turned evangelism into a program. Now, nothing wrong with that. Alpha, which has been a great program. In UMC, we run Alpha, Alpha Parenting, Alpha Marriage, and so on and so forth. Great program. Okay, I encourage that strongly as well. In fact, I'm an Alpha board of Malaysia. Okay, but evangelism should not be turned into a program only. Because if it is, then we wait for the next program to start before we can do evangelism, which you don't see in Scripture, and I'll prove to you as to why. See? Secondly, friends, sometimes we turn evangelism into an event. Like 3-day special Christmas outreach or 2-day special Easter outreach, that kind of thing. Okay? And again, you don't see this in Scripture. Because if you turn to an event, then you wait for the next Christmas before you reach out to non-Christian friends, okay, to share Jesus with them, isn't it? Or sometimes, thirdly, we have radical evangelism to some so-called experts, the evangelists. These are people who cannot wait to share Jesus. And if there's no one to share Jesus, these people share with cockroaches and lizards on the wall as well, isn't it? But friends, you know, again, you don't see this, okay? It's not people like Dr. Billy Graham, whoever else will share Jesus. You know, friends, evangelism is a responsibility of every one of us. But maybe very simply, what is evangelism, all right? Simply, I define it as sharing the good news of Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and trusting God for the results. It's our job is to share, that's all. And God, the Holy Spirit, friends, is more keen to work in the lives of these people we talk to than we and I realized. Take an example, just Friday before last, I was here in Subang Jaya, actually, okay, start an account because I'm part of the Council of Malaysia Bible Seminary, so I'm told as one of the signatories to be there, okay, to meet up with a person who will get my signatures and set an account, that kind of thing. And when I was there, in the 15, 20 minutes talking, witnessing to her, I said, you know what, okay, as you know, my name is Daniel Ho, I'm a pastor, okay, here in PJ, you're very special, out of 7 billion people, okay, God sent a pastor to meet you here. You know what? In the process, 42 minutes, I led her to faith in Christ, okay, and told her, come to GMC, okay? Maybe she'll come to FBC, all right? But okay, all right, but she lives near the GMC side than to go here. But you see, friends, can I say, there are people more ready to want to accept Jesus, you and I realize. Our job is to share and extend invitation, see what happens. Amen, isn't it? Very, very important for you and I to know that. Why? Because as I said, evangelism or sharing faith in Christ is responsible every believer. All right, and in fact, it should be our lifestyle, okay? And you see this in Scripture, just one verse of Scripture, Acts chapter 8 and in verse 4. Quite, come, let's read together. Those who've been scattered preached the word wherever they went. What happens? Persecution broke out as a result of the martyrdom of Stephen, as you know, isn't it? And as a result of that, what happens is that believers, except the apostles, were scattered all across, away from Jerusalem. And you know this, friends, wherever these believers went, they just share. Just talk about Jesus. The word preach here is like the word gossip, actually. Wherever they went, they are involved in gossiping the gospel. Now, only one gossip is allowed, the gospel. Amen? Okay, no other gossips are allowed, isn't it? And so wherever they went, they just share Jesus. That's all, okay? Which is, I think, very, very important for you and I to know, to recognize that. As you mentioned, they talk about Jesus, as I say, you know, there are people more ready to respond than you and I know, really. For example, we were just in Africa. I was speaking in Uganda and then out there in Rwanda. All right. And on the way back, what happens is that I was seated next to a Japanese girl. In fact, when we fly, we don't sit together. Okay. You may think very strange, isn't it? So sometimes we check in the airport, okay, and the lady, okay, there and said, you are not seated together. Yeah. Are you husband and wife? Yeah. Is your marriage okay? We'll kill you. All right. Why should we do that? Deliberate, intentional, so that we can share Jesus with people around us. Because, friends, you can always sit with your wife when you come back home. No, amen, isn't it? Right now. Because, friends, people will meet on their flight, in a bus, in a taxi. Sometimes, you know what? We never get to meet them again. You know that? We never get to meet them again on earth. Let's maximize our time and our life. And it's so important, isn't it? Why? Because every person is important to God. Can a good amen for that? Listen, if it's important to God, they should be important to us likewise, which is, I think, so, so very important. Sometimes one encounter, you change the life of that person eternally, forever, isn't it? And so on the flight back from the capital city, Kigali, in Rwanda, back, okay, to Doha before coming back here, in the flight, sitting next to the Japanese girl, talk to her about Jesus. I said, you're very special. Out of 7 billion people, go take a... Okay, even this mic now give way now. Okay, never mind. All right, that out of 7 billion people, God take a pastor sit next to you. You must be very special. Share talk with her before the flight, okay, touchdown in Doha. I led to faith in Christ. And she was the second Japanese. I led to faith in Christ on the airline, actually. So, friends, can I challenge you to do that? Amen? Isn't it very, very important, okay, for you and I to know? Now, how many of us, knowing Jesus is the best thing to happen to you in your life? Okay, can I see your hands? Coming to faith in Christ, it's the best thing happening in your life. Okay, if your hand is not up, come forward. We need to pray for you. Something is not quite right with you, isn't it? All right? So I came to faith in Christ 48 years ago as a high school teacher. there's a sense of emptiness, loneliness, and something's not quite right in my life. You know what I mean? And so 1971, I went there, sat there in the school library, and then on my own invited Jesus into my life as Lord and Savior, just like that. So you know, friends, I got myself saved. Not bad, isn't it? Okay? Friends, it radically changed and transformed me after that. Now, not that I'm a bad person. I'm fairly decent looking like all of you. You say something and encourage me. Hello, are you there? Isn't it? All right? Not that I'm a bad person, fairly decent looking. But you know, friends, it so shaped and transformed my mind, the way I look at life, what it is. Because I was asking questions, who am I? Why am I here? What's the meaning of life? Where am I going? Do you ask those kind of questions? Isn't it? We must ask those kind of questions. And the people I mentor, CEOs of companies I mentor, some of these non-Christian CEOs, I challenge them as well. Who are you? He said, Pastor, you don't know who I am? I'm the second richest man in the country. That's not my question. Who are you? Don't know? I'm a CEO of a multinational. Sorry, wrong answer. That's not my question. All right? That's not the kind of answer it is. You see, many times when we ask, who are you? Which is our identity. And many of us, especially men, our identity is tied up with what? Our position. I'm a CEO of a company. Or our possession. I'm the second richest man in the country. Or our power. I'm the most powerful person in the country. This is all wrong, friends. This will all go away one day. Then who are you? Isn't it? And I pray some of these non-Christian CEOs I pray when you're there on the deathbed there in hospital with tubes running over the body, okay, with a multi-million stash away there, suddenly it hits you. My goodness, I'm going to die just like that. And Arnold gets to enjoy all my multi-millions. How can? So unfair. Right now, suddenly it hits you. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I doing? Isn't it? All right? And all that I have, somebody gets to enjoy. What's the meaning of life? And it's so important, isn't it, for you to understand in this regard here. That's why knowing Jesus is so good. You and I must share. Hello? Are you there? Isn't it? In fact, for me, it's a crime not to share. Really, isn't it? So I'm so glad, okay, that I myself wrestled through issues of life and came to faith in Christ, and knowing Jesus is so good that anywhere, everywhere I go, I share. Now, how many of us, we are fearful about sharing? We are nervous, we are shy about sharing. How many of us, you're like that? See your hands, okay? Hey, so few hands. Hey, you in church, you're supposed to tell lies, okay? All right, rewind, is that okay? How many of us, we are shy, we are nervous, we don't know how to share? Can see your hands, come on. Okay, that's better. Now, I was once upon a time like that. I was like that as well. Very shy, very nervous, don't know how to start. Even when I start, it's a wrong start altogether, that kind of thing. All right? And one day when I read Acts chapter 1 verse, it hit me like a thunderbolt. Isn't it? Acts 1:8, what does it say? Jesus said to the disciples, listen, before he's taken up to heaven, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon. Then you shall receive power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Okay? Then you shall receive power. And then you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. I read that countless times, but one day it hit me like a thunderbolt. I said, Lord, that's what I need, your power to share. And so that day I prayed, Holy Spirit, come and fill me, empower me. Now, I don't become overnight fiery evangelist, but I started somewhere. Okay, Lord, help me. So next day onwards, I started little by little, isn't it? And the key is just start. All right, pray. I'm going to pray for your empowerment, okay, by the Holy Spirit afterwards, since many hands were up. Just empower us so that God will just give us the liberty to just start. Just start. Isn't it? Anywhere, everywhere, just start. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. Isn't it? So for me, sometimes for a few weeks, I don't share Jesus. I have to look for people to share. Okay? It's like, for example, I went to this restaurant. All right, from church office lunch, went to this restaurant. And this coffee shop, I stood outside, looked into a coffee shop, and I prayed, Lord, which table shall I sit? People said, my goodness, you mean go to coffee shop, must pray? I said, yeah, of course, must pray. Okay, which table to sit? So I saw one table, one Indian man seated alone by himself. Okay, I said, Lord, thank you so much. I grabbed my food quickly, went to join him, okay, in the stairs. I said, excuse me, can I join you? And like, oh, good, friendly Malaysian, yes, 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 please do. Am I right or not? Sometimes in the West, you're going to join the guy alone. The guy give you a frown and a look. Can't you sit in all other tables? Can't disturb me. But Malaysian's very friendly, oh. Amen. He said, yeah, yeah. So I sat down. I said, hi, you're having a lunch, huh? I'm also having my lunch, okay? Bread by my hand. I say, what's your name, by the way? He said, my name is Mutu. Good to meet you. My name is Daniel Mutu. What do you do, Mutu? He said, I'm a van driver. What company do you work for? Mutu says, I work for MBJ. I say, I know that company. MBJ stands for Malam Boleh Jalan. Okay, it's a courier company, okay, it means nighttime can travel. It's a courier company that sends all your letters, your parcels across the country. He was shocked. Whoa, he said, very few people know. How come you know? I said, very clear. You know what? I'm a pastor. Pastor, very clever. Amen. Isn't it? So I asked him therefore, okay, I'm a pastor. What's a pastor? You know, church gereja, someone who takes care of church. Oh, someone who takes care of church is a pastor. So I asked Mutu, by the way, are you a Christian? He says, no, I'm Indian. I said, of course, I know you're Indian now. With the name Mutu, what do you expect? A Chinese, a Japanese, a Vietnamese? Of course, I know you're Indian with the name Mutu. Am I right? No. Okay. No, what I mean is, are you a Hindu or a Christian? No. Oh, no, I'm a Hindu. Share talk with him. And because he was there earlier, he finished off his lunch and said, excuse me, I need to go. Because I gave him my card, told him where we were. Okay, yeah, I know. I'm a van driver. I know everywhere at the back of my palm. I said, that's great. Okay, as he walked off, I said, Mutu, okay, I hope to greet you, welcome you to my church, you, your wife, and your children. As he walked off, he said to me, Sila, got time, I will come. That is a nice Malaysian way of saying thank you and no thanks. Am I right or no? Am I right? Okay, Sila, got time, I will come. Isn't it? Within less than a minute, another Chinese gentleman came to my table and joined me. And he said to me, excuse me, can I join you? You know, friends, I was so very, very happy. You know why? Because I prayed to God for one. God gave me two. Wow, this is amazing. This is amazing. God sent two to you. I was so very, very happy. I said, Lord, you are so good. You know, you gave me two instead of one, okay? So what happens? I say, hi, you're having a lunch here. I'm also having my lunch. So I reach out to him. I say, hi, my name is Daniel. What's your name? He said, my name is Kenneth. After he said his name is Kenneth, he held my hand. He refused to let go. He says, are you the Daniel Ho from NECF? Means he recognized me. You know, friends, I was so sad after that. My heart sank. Why? Because he's a Christian. You know what? And I complained to God. God, why do you send a Christian to my table? Send Christian to all the FBC people's table. Don't send non-Christian to my table. I want to talk Jesus with them. Right now. And so, friends, the key is this. Wherever we go, let's, you know, take initiative. Let's really, friends, you know, be deliberate about sharing Jesus. So therefore, the moral of the story is this, friends. From now onwards, when you go for lunch, whatever, to coffee shop, cannot look for an empty table. No, yeah, no amen from you all. Yeah, see, friends, you know, we got to be very intentional about it, which is, I think, very, very important. Amen, isn't it? All right, how many of us, we feel that time passes by very fast nowadays? Actually, it's the same 24 hours, but we feel pass very fast. Can I see your hands? How many of you? Look around. It's all older people's hands, okay? Whose hands are? Yeah, that's the reality, isn't it? It seems to pass by very fast. 2019 is soon over. As many of us still remember, 31st December 2018, isn't it? And 2019 is all is soon coming to an end. And before that, 2020 is staring in our face. Time passed very fast, okay? Young people, don't laugh at us, because for me, for example, I'm slowly inching towards 70 years old. That's scary, okay? But young people, don't laugh at us. Your time will come sooner than you realized, okay? Because in a twinkling of an eye, you'll join the company elect as well, okay? Like all of us. You know why time passes very fast? I compare the length of a toilet roll. You know a toilet roll? Okay, hello, are you there? Toilet roll. The more you use, the faster it rolls, isn't it? Right now. And you cannot tell the toilet roll, can you slow down? Slow down. It will just go faster and faster. And so therefore, for some of us, if not for many of us, you know what? The length of the toilet roll is very short now. Okay? Okay? No amen from you all. Yeah, the length left is very short. You know, it's the runway we have covered is so much more than the runway that is left. And that's the reason why, friends, you and I must maximize our life. That's why you and I, friends, must really go all out to share Jesus in a time with God. And very important, isn't it? Why? Because Jesus gave us, sometimes we call it the last commission. Matthew 28, it says, Jesus' last commission, friends, should be our first command. Go and make disciples. Go and share Jesus. Go and draw as many. I believe the reason why we're still here today is because we're not finished our mission in sharing Jesus. You know, there's only one mission for you and I to do here on earth, is to make Jesus known. Because knowing Jesus is so good, right? It is a crime not to share Jesus, really. Hello, are you there? Isn't it? I think very, very important for you to recognize, to understand, come to grips with that. Now, why must we share Christ? Two important reasons from Scripture, as you see. Firstly, friends, because we're sharing in the heart of God. When we share Jesus, isn't it? John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Come, let's read together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So what is God's heart and God's purpose? Not to condemn the world, but to save the world, isn't it? That's the heart of God. And so when we share Jesus, friends, you know, you and I are participating very hard of God, which is, I think, very, very important for us, isn't it? But the second reason is otherwise, people are lost to a crisis eternity. That's actually a very nice way of saying people go to hell without Jesus. Amen? That's the reality of it all. That's why Paul writes like this, Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Come, let's read together. For he has rescued us from dominion of darkness and brought us in the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we are redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We have been, friends, transported from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, isn't it? From Satan's hold upon our lives to that of, okay, heaven that you and I enjoy forever and ever, isn't it? What a blessing. What an eternal blessing, friends, when it comes to faith in Christ, isn't it? I remember some time ago, we were driving in a housing estate where we live, and then I saw a Taoist funeral taking place in this particular home. I turned to Doris in a car. I said, you know what, sadly, another one lost to a crisis eternity. Friends, I trust this must burden and challenge us. It is not just something we see, something that must challenge us, if not trouble us, to say, I need to double up. There must be a sense of urgency, because it is not right for just we ourselves to go to heaven. Hello, are you there? Isn't it? We must take as many along with us as possible. God must burden us, our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, our colleagues, okay, as many people as possible, our classmates, for those of us who are studying, isn't it? Take as many of us with us, all right, to heaven, isn't it? All right, very, very important for us, because otherwise people are lost to a crisis eternity. What a tragedy, isn't it? And when we share Jesus and lead them to faith in Christ, what happens? We have made an eternal difference to the lives of these people. Isn't it? What a blessing. How amazing can this get, isn't it? Now, let's two forms of evangelism that we see. Firstly, the first form is visual. In us, we witness by our life, okay, and by our lifestyle. I trust when people look at us by our life and lifestyle, they will come to the conclusion that man, that lady must be a Christian, especially from FBC. No amen, isn't it? Right now, I trust this is the case. But as you and I know, friends, not just Christian people are good people. You find also good people among the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Sikhs, and even atheists as well, isn't it? You find all kinds of good people around. Therefore, friends, witnessing just visually by our life and lifestyle is not enough. There's a second kind of witness we must be involved in, what I call verbal witness. What is this? It is opening our mouth to share, to talk, isn't it? To share, because others, how would they know that we are Christians? Unless we open our mouth to talk so that whatever they see with their eyes, it connects with what they hear with their ears. Say, ha-ha, and I know Christians are like that, isn't it? So it's very, very important for you to bear witness. Now let's learn from the example of Jesus. As I say, he is the master guru evangelist, all right? All right, and this is just one account of the many accounts in the Gospels. We see Jesus going up, just talk about himself and leading people to faith, all right, in him. Okay, so we look at just a Samaritan woman like this, okay? Let's learn and get some tips from Jesus, how he goes about sharing the gospel. Firstly, friends, the posture of his heart. What is the posture of heart of Jesus? In verse 4, it says, now he had to go through Samaria. Now, friends, this is something radical. It is not just a sentence we read, now he had to go to Samaria. Because why? Jews never go through Samaritan territory. What is the reason? Jews despise Samaritans. Jews look down on Samaritans because they are half Jews. All right? And so you've noticed that, okay, all through the history for years and years, whenever, for example, the Jews, all right, in the north, in the area of Galilee, where Jesus grew up in, when they want to go down south to Jerusalem each year, okay, for the pilgrimage, you know what they would do? They would skirt around Samaritan territory. They would skirt around and go to Jerusalem. When they come back, they would do the same as well. No Jew in a right thinking mind will go to Samaritan territory. But you notice, friends, Jesus had to purposely want to deliberately would go through Samaritan to break every mindset of the Jews that are trapped in that kind of prejudice, isn't it, like this? So look at the heart of Jesus. Amazing, isn't it? He's willing, right, to do something radical. And in the process, you read on the rest of the chapter, as a result of Jesus' visit there, the whole community came to faith in Christ like this. Isn't it? What is the reason? Again, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Come, let's read together. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So what is God's heart? Not wanting anyone to perish. anyone to go to hell, but all to come to repentance, all to come to faith in Christ. That's the heart of God likewise, isn't it? Like this for us, okay? Now, we know, sadly, there are some who will not accept Jesus. There are some who reject. Some oppose it very, very strongly, isn't it? How many of you come across people like this? How many of us? Yes, is it? Sadly, all right, they'll poo-poo it, they'll run down, they'll totally oppose it and reject it completely. It's sad. But no, whatever it is, the heart of God is for all to come to repentance in Christ, isn't it? And that's the heart of God. And that's why you and I must share. Why? Because when we share in that, as I said, we're participating, all right, in the same posture like that of Jesus, like this, isn't it? But also secondly, friends, the place of engagement, right? Where did Jesus engage, okay, the people? All right, verses 5 and 6 come. Let's read together again. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Where's the place of engagement? The well. Why the well? Not just Jesus are thirsty, but it's a place where everybody gathers, isn't it? Because people in the community, whether they come to the well to draw water, isn't it? That's a fantastic place, right? To meet people, to engage people, isn't it? So where is your place of engagement? Right? It is for those of us in the workplace, marketplace, it is amongst our colleagues in a place of work, isn't it? Our colleagues in a place of work. All right. For those of us, okay, who are students, it is the school, college, university where you are, your friends, your classmates, your place. For those of us who are homemakers, where is it? Our neighbors, isn't it? The neighborhood where we live in. All right. So for all of us, even friends, that should be our place of engagement. That's where we should be connecting with people, talk, share, and make Jesus known, which is very, very important for us, isn't it? All right. So for me, where is my place of engagement? All right. I know as a pastor, all right, we find that what happens is that most of the time I spend amongst Christians, 90% of my time spent with Christians, which we don't mind. Why? Because we spend among the nicest people in the whole world. Amen, isn't it? But friends, can I say, that's an artificial environment. Because if 90% of the time is spent amongst Christians here in Malaysia, when only 10% are Christians, it is totally out of order. How can you spend 90% of the time, okay, amongst Christians when only 10% of the population are Christians? That's just not right. Now, Jesus tells us we are the salt of the earth. Amen, isn't it? So if we spend time with one another, what happens? Then we are salting one another only. If we keep on salting, we all become oversalted. How we, isn't it? And oversalted salt fish don't taste very nice. Hello, are you there? We should be salting people out there, not one another like this, isn't it? And it's very, very important for us to understand that wherever we are, there should be our place of engagement. So your colleagues, your friends, okay, your neighbors, your relatives, whoever, that should be a place of engagement. So for me, therefore, wherever I go, all right, that's my place. I seize every opportunity available just to connect and talk to people. I remember, how many, you like laksa? See your hands. How many love laksa? Okay, if you're a good Malaysian, you'll love laksa. Okay, isn't it? And so I remember I was then SS2 area, queuing up in this laksa store for laksa. Okay, and very popular, long queue there. Okay, and the owner, he came to faith in Christ, and he renamed his laksa store. And he called his laksa store, Hallelujah Laksa Store. Now, with that kind of name, sure make money. Amen? Right now. All right. And so, long queue of people. And I was there, okay, that evening. And because it was drizzling lightly, I had my umbrella with me. Just like drizzle, I had my umbrella with me. Okay, long queue, I was waiting in the queue. So I tapped the guy in front with the umbrella. I said, excuse me, can I share my umbrella with you? You know what? He was so happy. Now, you know what happens, friends? You've got a captive audience. The guy be chow like that, I cannot run away now. Share Jesus with him. Amen. Hello, are you there, isn't it? So wherever we are, that's what we should be doing, you know, which is very, very important. So that's what I do as well, isn't it? Wherever we are, let's engage people. Just start a conversation and see how the Lord will lead you. And you'll be surprised how the Lord will lead you, right, in a process of talking like this, isn't it? And then you notice, friends, the point of conversation that Jesus engages the woman. What is the point of conversation? Verse 7, all right? When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said, will you give me a drink? So what is the point? Point of conversation is about water, isn't it? All right? I need water. You come for water. Let's talk about water. Will you give me a drink, isn't it? Right now. And that's what you and I should be doing, friends, in our places of responsibility or study, wherever we are, isn't it? All right? Place of conversation. Now, for me, it's very simple. Right? The moment I ask, hi, what's your name? John. I'm Daniel. What do you do, John? I'm an engineer. The moment I tell you I'm a pastor, I will tell you, by the way, are you a Christian? It connects, you know what I mean? But for example, say, hi, I'm John. Everybody, you're an accountant. I'm Michael. I'm an engineer. Then I say, are you a Christian? The guy will think you're gone cuckoo. You know what I mean? Engineer, okay, accountant, you ask me, am I a Christian? But pastor, you can. Now, this is where I notice many of us Christians, we struggle with. How do I turn my ordinary conversations into spiritual conversations so that my faith comes out naturally, so that I share? Can I give you some tips? Hello? Is it okay to give you some tips on how to do it? It's actually very simple, okay? For example, in your place of work, just talk about work. Just simply talk about work, isn't it? How do you talk about work? For example, ask your friend John, John, what is it you like working here in this company? Let John share, and after you share. Are you there, isn't it? Then after, turn it around. John, have you ever faced a challenge working here? Let John share whatever he wants to share. After it comes to your turn. For example, if it is true for you, if it is true for you like this. You know, John, I was given this assignment by our boss, our common boss. Actually, it can be done. No difficulty at all. But just the deadline is so short, it's almost impossible, John, to get it done. But surprisingly, I got it done. Because I prayed like crazy. Right? Hey, by the way, John, I'm a Christian. You see, friends, you get it done. Many times, God, we look to God to help us in a very special manner. Amen, isn't it? So therefore, you pray, and God has helped you to get it done. Therefore, you say, hey, by the way, John, I pray, like, and God helped me to get it done. By the way, I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian? Hello, are you there? So talk about work, or talk about health. Isn't it? Just talk about health. Hey, John, okay, what is it? You look fit and healthy. What is it you do to keep fit and healthy? Let John share, and after that, you share. Again, turn around. Ah, John, by the way, John, have you ever faced a health challenge in your life? How many of us, we have faced health challenges before? Can I see your hands? Yeah, many of us. That's a great time to talk, isn't it? Hey, John, what have you faced a health challenge? Oh, you have not? Good, wonderful, God bless you. By the way, John, and that's where you share your health challenge. For example, maybe if it's true for you, you know, John, I wasn't feeling well. I've been delaying, but finally, a month later, I decided, no choice, going to see a doctor. And the doctor put me through a whole battery of tests. And then 3 weeks later, called me in, set me down, and said to me, Michael, I'm sorry to let you know, I have no good news for you. You actually got cancer. Third, going to fourth stage cancer. The moment the doctor told me that, I'm suddenly gripped with fear. I'm confused. My world fell apart. I begin to lose sleep. I begin to lose appetite. And as a result, I started losing weight very rapidly. I became so desperate and looking for help, hope, whatever I could grab hold of. And I came to faith in Christ. I became a Christian in the process. Now, I can't say to you, John, that I'm healed, all right? But I trust God. But most important, John, whatever happens to me, deep down in me, there's a sense of peace and trust and hope, whatever happens. See, your faith has come out. Hello, are you there? Then you say, by the way, John, are you a Christian? Oh, you are not. Maybe you should consider. Right now, don't wait to meet like me. When you're so desperate, son, you only turn. You can do it right now. Is it okay, John? Can I pray for you? Hello, are you there? Isn't it? Just talk about work. Talk about health. You can talk about so many things. Talk about children as well. How many of us, we love to talk about our own children? See your hands. If your hands are not up, you need to pray for you. Something's not quite right with you. Okay, we're all proud. So we talk about children. And say, hey, you can simply ask, hey, John, what do you do with your children during weekends? Let John share. After you share, you know, weekends, I bring my kids, you know, to this fantastic place that runs a children's church in FBC. All right? Get ready. Bring your kids to come. Join the Christian. Anyone can come. Let the kids go through it and see. For once, all that you may know, your kids will love it. Hello, isn't it? Rana, that's what I tell parents, okay? Non-Christian parents, I tell them, you bring your kids to children's church or Sunday school, whatever you call it, your kids will get three outstanding things. What are the three outstanding things? Firstly, they get some of the best teachings in the whole world. Hello, isn't it? Our church is some of the best in the whole world. Kids are taught to tell the truth, don't tell lies, to honor father and mother, and so on and so forth. So you get some of the best teaching in the world. Secondly, the kids in a good, healthy, positive environment. Amen? Isn't it? Church environment is amazing. Thirdly, your kids get leadership training free of charge. Right now, sit together in a small meeting, want to chair the meeting, want to lead the singing, want to do all kinds of things, and want to stand up, give 5 minutes, 10 minutes testimony. You say, what are all these? These are all leadership training, all right? Free of charge, isn't it? And that's why I tell a lot of non-Christian parents, you find your kids grow up in church, I guarantee you, next time when they graduate, come out to work, they'll always do better than many kids outside. All right, okay? And I could give them examples and test many of them. Our son, for example, today is he's 39 years old. And he speaks across the country, around the world, and he stands there, and he's a group CEO today, okay, as a young man overseeing six other subsidiaries. Each one has a CEO under him like this. Where he learned all these principles from? From the church. Hello? So church, very good, oh. Amen, isn't it? All right? And so therefore, engage them, your friends, in all kinds of conversations like this, which is very important for us, isn't it? All right? Then sometimes, you know, when we share Jesus with them, immediately it's a prejudice that goes up, isn't it? A prejudice goes up. Likewise with Jesus and this Samaritan woman. What's the prejudice of this Samaritan woman? Verse 9. Come, let's read together. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." I said, immediately the prejudice comes up. Now, how many of us, when you try to witness to your non-Christian friends or whatever, or even relatives, you face prejudice? Can I see your hands? How many of us, isn't it? Very common. Two common forms of prejudice that you and I face. What are they? Firstly, sadly, many non-Christians will tell us, including me, I see hypocrisy in Christians. Amen? Isn't hypocrisy very sad? The second common reason goes on. They've been hurt by Christians. Am I right? All right? Because they've been hurt, they write off the Christian faith. But I tell them, you know, you've been hurt by Christians. Okay? Right? These are some bad apples. Am I right? These are some bad apples. But there are many good apples that are not met, and they're all found in FBC. Am I right or not? So some people, because of a few bad experiences with Christians, they write off. I said, don't do that. Don't throw the baby with the bath water. Hello, are you there, isn't it? Throw the bath water, keep the baby. Keep there something good. Don't, because of bad experience, you throw the whole thing. It is to your lost. Like, for example, sometimes we got bad experience with a doctor and a dentist, okay, and especially dentist, okay, and how many of us, we got bad experiences, okay, isn't it? Now, we don't, because of bad experience, doctor, forget it, I'm not going to see doctors anymore. It is to your own loss. You don't come to that kind of conclusion like this, isn't it? All right? Consider the truth of it all. Is there truth in the Christian faith? Don't just throw it out like that, isn't it? Which is, I think, very, very important. Give an example. I was visiting this home because our senior citizens had the third anniversary celebration, all right, several years ago. And the lady opened up the home at the end of that evening with all the wonderful time together, okay? And most people have left. I said to the lady, all right, husband is not a Christian. I say, is your husband around? I say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Where is he? Upstairs. Okay. Can I say hello to him? Appreciate him for opening up the home, because surely he must also agree. Okay, isn't it? For the home to be opened up. All right. He said, no, no, you better know. I said, no, I'm not going to share. I just want to thank him. That's all. The daughter at that time was back from a holiday, or she was doing her PhD actually in pharmacy. I said, but you better know. I said, no, I just want to thank your dad. So she went upstairs. Then she came down. When she came down the staircase, she said to me like this, my father is coming. My father is coming. I said, my goodness, who am I going to meet now? Okay. All right. The guy came down. I came down the staircase. Last step, I reached out my hand. Hello, Mr. Wong. I'm Daniel Ho. I'm a pastor. Thank you so much for opening up a home. You know what, friends? For the next 25 minutes, he attacked me left, right, and center like crazy. My goodness, no Arnold to support me at the back there. He said, you're Christian, you're hypocrites. It went on and on and on for 25 minutes. Finally, when it's calmed down a little bit, I said, Mr. Wong, I'm so sorry, okay, that you encountered some of these Christians who have been so bad examples. I'm so sorry about that. I don't know who they are. Can I, on their behalf, apologize and say, we are sorry, I'm sorry, you know, I'm a pastor. You know what he said to me? None of your business. Whoa, that kind of man. That rude, you know. So I know, no, Mr. Wong, you know I'm a pastor. Can I? Don't know. Yeah. Mr. Wong, you have not met many good ones. Please come to GMC. I'll introduce tons of good apples that you need to know, experience. Friends, I refuse to give up on him. I worked on him the next 11 months. Eventually led him to faith in Christ. And he started coming to GMC. Initially sit outside, we're not coming, slowly, but today he's in with us, worshiping, that kind of thing. So I say, Mr. Wong, you know, last time when I first met you, you talked to me like that. He said, am I that bad? I say, you're terrible, not just that bad. Am I right? So some people, they have not experienced, okay, God's goodness and God's blessings upon their lives. Amen? They just come to a conclusion because of bad experiences or because they see hypocrisy. Okay? Let me tell you, how many of you, in a place of work, people tell you, Christians, hypocrites, how many of you got? Is it? Right? Can I teach you how to handle that? Hello? Is it okay? It's like this. It's like I'm involved mentoring different groups of people, business people, politicians, so on and so forth. So this group of young working adults I mentor, very sharp guys, one of them from Cambridge University. Today, he heads up the department of a huge company, multi-billion, I won't mention the name, everybody knows. Okay, he heads up this company. But he tells him, Pastor Daniel, you know, sometimes in our heads of departmental meeting, our boss, our CEO, he loves to take pot shots at Christians and the Christian faith and mention even names of people and say, see, all these are hypocrites. And whenever he says that, he knows I'm a Christian. When he says that, my mouth is zipped. I don't want you to do. I say, no, let me show you a way forward. In fact, this is a fantastic way to do it. Okay, let me show you. So how many of you want to learn that? How many of you? Okay, not interested. Let me move on then. Okay. Is it okay? Let me. So I say, no, don't worry about that. Okay, he's not, but he loves, enjoys it, you know. And so, therefore, you make a personal appointment with him, one-on-one. And a personal appointment one-on-one, of course, firstly, everything for us to pray like crazy first. Hello, are you there? This is pray like crazy first, people. So that when you meet with him one-on-one after your prayers or everything else, sit down with him one-on-one in his office and say, boss, you know, all right, thank you for this appointment one-on-one with you. Really appreciate that. Okay, boss. You know, I've been fairly good as a worker here. And also at such a young age, I'm head of the department of this massive company. I think fairly good. You know, also I'm a Christian. Okay. Okay, but boss, I don't know. Maybe sometimes you look at me, you may be disappointed with me. But you're so kind, so far you've not told me anything. I think I'm fairly good lah. But if I've disappointed anything anyway, if I disappointed, please tell me. Is it okay, boss? All right, I'm sorry, I apologize, but please tell me, let me know. Then take it on one step further, boss. Can I be very honest with you also? Sometimes I look at you, I'm also disappointed with you. That might be your last thing. Okay, the boss said, get out of the door. How many of us, we got perfect bosses? Can I see your hands? How many of you? All right, any one of you got perfect boss? You got a, oh, I also want to work for him like that. Okay, come on. There's no such thing as a perfect boss. Hello, are you there? Okay, unless that your boss is like Jesus lah. Right now. Right. Which company you got a perfect boss? There's not a single one around. Just take an example with him. Boss, you know why? Can I be very honest? I'm disappointed. Because in a heads of department meeting, why do you bring up Christian faith and take pot shots at Christians? I know we should be better examples. Please forgive us, you know? I think we should. But why do you do that? And you enjoy doing that when our meeting has got no relevance whatsoever about Christian faith. Why do you enjoy doing that? Amen, isn't it? Right now. And please forgive us. We should be bad examples. We have not. Please forgive us for that. Okay? And say to him, boss, you know what? Forgive us, we have failed. We should be better examples. You know, boss? Tell him that. That's precisely why Jesus came. That's precisely why Jesus came. Because only he is perfect. Don't look at us Christians. Don't look at any one of us. Although we should be better examples. Please forgive us. That's precisely why Jesus, because only he is perfect. He came for you. He came for me. Hello? Isn't it? Look at him, boss. All right? Although we should be better examples. But look at him. And then don't stop that. Take one step further. Boss, if it is okay with you, starting next week for the next 1 month, I will do Bible study with you on the Gospels. Hello, are you there? Yeah. And tell the boss, honestly, boss, if you're sincere and honest, willing to go through with me, just look at the 4 Gospels there about the life of Jesus, you will encounter perfect man and perfect God. Hello? No, amen. Hello, are you there? Still there, isn't it? Yeah, that's precisely why. And that's why Jesus came for you, for me, for everyone in this world. Think about it, consider it seriously, really. All right, if you're sincere, honest, let's do it together. Look at him. You'll be astounded. You'll be shocked to see who Jesus is. Okay, encounter him. You'll be changed and transformed like many of us. Amen, isn't it? All right. And so, friend, demolish the prejudice people have. All right, now. Very important for you and I to do that. Then what happens is next? Offer the promise of the Savior. What did Jesus promise the Samaritan woman? Verse 10. Come, let's read together. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and were given living water. After Jesus shared what he shared, said to the Samaritan woman, if you know how good this gift is, what an amazing gift I'm going to offer you. You would just want it. You would just want it. And so what happens at the end? The plea of the woman. What did the woman say? Verse 15, together. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and keep coming here to draw water. What happens? This woman comes for physical water. Jesus offers her living water, a water to quench her thirst forever and ever. Isn't it? As I said, knowing Jesus is the best thing that happened to us in our lives. Amen? Isn't it? I came to faith in Christ from a Buddhist background 48 years ago. And knowing Jesus is so good, you cannot not share with as many people as possible, isn't it? Which is, I think, so very, very important for all of us. Amen? And therefore, I want to extend this final challenge to all of you. What is the final challenge? Which is that by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, I would like to lead how many person or persons to faith in Christ and see that person or person be a disciple in the life of the church and make this an annual goal. All right? I know now it's coming to the end of 2019, okay? Almost 9 months have gone past now. Maybe I want to challenge, set a goal for the next 12 months. Think about it. For the next 12 months, set a goal. Put a number in. Put a number in. For example, friends, if you just, even just one, if every one of you will just read one to faith in Christ in the next 12 months, what happens to your church? Your seats here, this second service will be full. Hello? Are you still there? Isn't it? Your seats will be full. And friends, can I say, leading one to faith in Christ is not difficult at all in 12 months. Since the start of the year, I've led 12 people to faith in Christ. Even then, for me, it's a very small number. Usually by now, I've led about 20 people to faith in Christ, 20 or 30 people to faith in Christ. But because I'm no longer a senior pastor in church, and most of the time I'm traveling, I don't get to encounter as many as I like to. But friends, there are more people ready to accept Jesus, you and I realize. Amen? Hello, are you there? Isn't it very, very important? Give you this example, okay, as I draw to a close, okay? All right, so set a number. I'm going to pray for you, okay, afterwards. Is that okay? Set a number. Doris and I, my wife and I, we were flying to Cairo, Egypt, for me to speak at this massive church in Cairo, church of 7,000, the largest actually in the whole of Middle East. In the first sector of the flight, Kuala Lumpur to Abu Dhabi, we overnighted before we flew on the next morning. So next morning, before we flew off, our friend who hosted us said to us, Janet and Doris, can I take you to the presidential palace? I said, oh, my goodness, you mean we ordinary people can go to the presidential palace? He says, yeah, it used to belong to Emir of or Sultan Abu Dhabi, who has turned over to the state, and the state has converted into a six-star hotel. Yeah, why not? Come, let's go. All right, everything's big, huge, and massive. So on the way out, like very clever Chinaman, I told Doris, come, let's use a toilet, because at least the toilet is free of charge. Amen. So she went to the ladies, I went to the men, okay? And after doing what I needed to do, I walked there in the toilet to pick up a piece of paper napkin to dry my hand. You know what? There's a hotel staff in smart hotel uniform just based in the toilet to hand people paper napkin and to clean the toilet. So I went towards him, took it from him. I said, thank you so much for serving us. Really appreciate it. What's your name? All right, the tech there, Mantakali. Good to meet you, Mantakali. All right. Okay, Mantakali, where are you from? From India. Oh, in which way? In Chennai. Chennai, great city. I've been there several times. Wonderful. How long have you worked here? 6 months. I said, Mantakali, you must really enjoy working in this fancy hotel. He says, no. I said, why not? He says, I miss my family. Oh, really? I said, Mantakali, my name is Daniel Ho. You're very special. I'm a pastor from Malaysia. Out of 7 billion people, go to your pastor meeting in the toilet. You must be very special, Mantakali. So I shared Jesus with him. Okay, and at the end, I challenged him. Mantakali, you know, you can take a step of trust in Jesus. Is it okay? All right. He said, okay, Ken. I said, great, Mantakali. Only Jesus, no other gods, okay? Because what, in Hinduism, they believe in 330 million gods. So adding one more Jesus, we got a problem. Am I right or not? Right. I said, only Jesus. No. He said, okay. I led him to faith in Christ. All right, so follow me. 4 steps involved in trusting in Jesus. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Thirdly, ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Fourthly, invite Jesus in your life as Lord and Savior. Is it okay? Is it clear? Yeah. I want to pray with you. Sentence by sentence, say after me aloud. He did that. All right, led him to faith in Christ. Now, how many of you, you want to meet my friend Manjakali in heaven one day? See your hands. How many of you? Meet my friend Manjakali in heaven one day. See your hands. Good, great, wonderful. God bless all of you. Okay, you know, I share this story with my church. I asked them at the end, like what I asked you, how many of you meet my friend Manjakali in heaven? You know how many hands went up? Three hands went up. I scolded my church. You people, no faith. Terrible people. I let FBC, your people of faith. Amen, isn't it? Isn't it? You know what? One day, Manjakali might see me in heaven, rush towards me, and slap me hard on the shoulder. And he said, brother, you recognize me? I said, sorry, no. I talk to so many people all the world, so I don't recognize you. Remind me, hey, my friend, Manjakali, Abu Dhabi to Abu Dhabi. Of course, I remember Abu Dhabi to Manjakali. Of course, I remember. You know what he might just say to me? Manjakali might just say to him, brother, I want to let you know, that was the best toilet experience in my whole life. Hello? What am I trying to say? Evangelism works even in a toilet. You know that? And Manjakali wasn't the first person I led to faith in Christ in a toilet. I led someone to faith in Christ in a DMC toilet in my church. So people ask, what do you do in a toilet, pastor? Of course, doing evangelism. Hello, are you there? And your ladies, you got an unfair advantage because you got longer time in a toilet. Evangelism works everywhere. Everywhere, even in a toilet. Connect, share with people. You never know. You make an eternal difference in people's lives. Amen. Hello, are you there? Isn't it very important? So I want to challenge you. This final challenge. If every one of you here would just set one, set a number one, what happens to your church? Your church doubles in the next 12 months. And every year, just set one. Your church keeps on doubling. And can I say to you this? There's not a single church I know of anywhere in the world. I preach in more than 40 countries in all six continents. I've not known of a single church anywhere that doubles every year consistently. It may double for a few years, then it stops. But double consistent, I've not seen a single one. Can I challenge you to do that? All right? Just one a year, that's all. That's all. It's not difficult at all, friends. Okay? So I challenge you to set a number. Come, let us pray. While we head bowed and eyes closed, before I pray for every one of you, maybe there's some of us here who have not taken a step of faith to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. In other words, you're not a Christian. Maybe you're here because of invitation of a friend or relative, or you just maybe walked in here. You're not taking a step of faith. Can I pray for you, pray with you? And friends, can I urge you to take that step? Because knowing Jesus is the best thing that can happen to you in your life. I assure you, I guarantee you. For many of us, for me, 48 years now, every year is getting better, and the best is yet to be, yet to come, really. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, if never, at the count of three, wherever you're seated, at the count, if you'd like to, would you raise your hand high up? I want to see your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Is it okay? Are you ready? One, two, and three. Is anyone? Yes, thank you. Anybody else? Yes, thank you. Yes, another one. Another one. Yes, anybody else? All right, keep your hands up. I want to pray for anybody else. Thank you. Another one. Yes, thank you. Those who put up your hands, you will say after me this prayer. Okay, aloud, sentence by sentence. And church, will you join in to encourage these people? Say it aloud with me together. Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, thank and I praise you for your love for me. Lord Jesus, I want to say that I'm a sinner. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. Come right now into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Take control of my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, your love and your power. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, for those who prayed this prayer, you know it all. Whether their hands are up or not, you know it all, because you're all-knowing God. So Holy Spirit, seal it deep in every heart, every life, and bring this new birth and new life to pass. And Lord, I pray you will continue to bring them to come, that they disciple the life of the church like this. And that again, together, oh God, we reach out to touch many, many more for you, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? And let me pray for all of us. As I say, friends, I challenge you to set a number. Whatever number, just set a number. Now, sometimes, you know, people say to me, oh, Pastor, you're caught up with numbers, all right? You're caught up with numbers or figures game. No, friends, people don't understand. All right, because why? Behind every number, hear me carefully, behind every number is a precious life Jesus died for. Hello, are you? So it's not numbers for numbers' sake. Behind every single number is a precious life Jesus died for. In fact, numbers are so important. The Bible is full of numbers. Okay, Jesus fed the 5,000 and then the 4,000. Apostle Peter, when he preached on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved, isn't it? All right, in fact, the numbers is so important in the Bible. There's even the book of numbers in the Bible, isn't it? All right, so let me pray. Set a number, whatever it is. I want to pray for you right now. Is it okay? All right, set it. All right, let me pray. Father, I bring to all these my precious brothers and sisters. You know them. You know the numbers they've set in their minds. Oh God, I pray. Holy Spirit, you just come and, oh God, I pray, Father, just affirm it in their hearts. Enable and empower them, oh God, I pray, just to reach out to share. And Lord, I take authority in Jesus over every fear that they may have. Oh God, a sense, Father, oh God, sometimes of intimidation. Oh God, a sense even sometimes we rationalize it away. It's not for me, not meant for other people. But Father, okay, you have said in your word that wherever we are, wherever we go, we should be just naturally talking and sharing about you with people, because knowing you is so good and so important indeed. And so, Father, I pray, oh God, in Jesus' name, Father, seal it deep in every heart, every life, the numbers they've said, and bring it to pass, oh God. Give them the joy, Father, I pray, oh God, freedom to naturally talk about you, Lord. I pray, I take authority to bind, to break every fear, Lord Jesus Christ, any form of rationalization, whatever else, to keep them from sharing, because we know it's Satan who's trying to prevent us from sharing Jesus, because we're going to keep as many people away from heaven as much as possible. So I pray for breakthrough for every one of us. Help us to begin to start, oh God, wherever we are, oh God, to share, to begin. And Father, we pray, Lord, I pray you anoint each one of them that as they share, you begin, embolden, empower them, Lord, to share. And so with joy, Father, I pray the blessings of Christ to lead, oh God, at least one person to Christ in the next 12 months, and see these people disciple after the church and grow strong. And then from year to year, we continue to share and lead us more and more to faith in you, God, I pray. So the great celebration on earth as it is in heaven, Father, I pray. Bless the church, bless every one of us, Father, I pray, oh God. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Daniel. How about a big round of...